I found this short article, This Man Has Lived My Dream.
Okay.
One of my childhood dreams.
Oh, I can't
somebody,
wait to hear what it is.
Somebody actually did this.
Okay.
And I thought it would be me one day. A man got really lucky after finding vomit on the beach. Yes.
What? Welcome to Hey You Know It. My name's Jaquetta Sotmari, and I'm here with my co-host,
Katie Kazmere. Hey You Know It is a podcast that tells you how it is or how it should be.
You can listen to Hey You Know It on iTunes, a new episode every Monday.
And here they are, Jaquetta and Katie.
All right, so Katie is going to kick off at my request.
Yes.
With my favorite segment, which is Tales from Their Campfire, wherein we retell tales from the internet of the paranormal.
Ghost stories.
Fake lore, folklore.
Scary stuff.
Stuff about the paranormal, and we retell it here around the digital campfire. So,
gather around, listeners.
Please do.
This is a first-person account.
Is it a middle-aged woman, a young person?
This is a young adult from Nevada. Okay. I just had a situation happen that's not that scary, but I'm confused about it, and I just think I'm a little concerned since I was followed for around 6 months.
Okay. That's very scary.
Yes.
What is a year makes it serious? Or like,
yeah. 6 months, it's like, come on.
Whatever, yeah.
You know,
who
amateur.
Yeah.
Amateur.
This is like just the beginning.
It happened at work about an hour ago. I work at a call center.
I'm sorry. It was 6 months. Okay.
I work at a call center, and everyone has their own computer and sections dividing the computers.
That's spooky already.
Yeah, I know.
Call
it is.
Center.
I'm chilled to the bone.
Why do they let people do that from home?
I know.
They could sit around braless and be comfortable.
I know, right? Wearing clogs.
Yes, wearing clogs.
The height of the sections are about as tall as my waist, so you can easily look over and see your friends.
That's weird.
So right. So you're sitting down, and then the sections,
They're so, low.
Low.
Oh,
super
this
low.
Is plantation style because they want to see you.
Yeah, they want to see what's on your screen.
Yeah.
You know, you have a little bit of privacy, but not really.
Not much.
I work for Google, and I was on a phone call when suddenly.
Again, frightening.
Yeah. But they have great snacks at
Google.
Oh,
really?
Yeah. Oh, they don't want you to leave the Google campus.
That's right.
So they have, like, food like crazy.
They call it a campus.
Yes.
But I think there's another name for it.
Yes.
Camp. It's probably more appropriate.
Yes. I work for Google, and I was on a phone call when suddenly I just felt really drained and weak. Keep in mind, I do love my job and my company, and I don't feel any negativity at my workplace. I know that being negative a lot can attract unwanted guests, so that's why I mentioned that I was in a good mood.
Okay.
I saw something at the corner of my eye, but I didn't want to look over since I was reading something to help my customer.
Okay.
I couldn't feel my body. I could feel my inner self struggling to stay moving. I couldn't focus on anything, and my brain just wasn't there either.
Your brain is like, get out of Google. They got you in a work camp.
Well, the thing is, suddenly she's in a good mood, no problem. She likes everything, and then suddenly, boom.
They are messing with you.
Right. My coworker, let's call him Will. Isn't that funny? Let's just call him Will.
Let's call him Will, yeah.
Stood up really and looked really confused. Will told me he saw a shiny metallic figure standing next to me and was leaning against my booth.
Sergey Brin.
He said it was a solid gray figure about 5'8".
Okay.
I wasn't able to see when it came up to me. But,
solid gray?
But Will was, and apparently it just walked up to my booth, leaned in for a while, and left.
Mm-hmm. I would say, what is a shadow person?
I got a happy feeling from it, but it's been an hour and I still feel very weak even after eating. I slept well this morning and woke up rather late, so I should be full of energy. Can anyone help me or tell me what it was? I've never seen anything metallic.
Oh, the metallic part.
Yes.
Okay.
It was a metallic, a shiny
person, but I don't know now.
If you have a
metallic
5'8" shiny metallic figure.
No, that doesn't sound like shadow person to me. And she said it was there for how long?
Well, she didn't see, Will did.
But he didn't say that it was fleeting or...
No, it came up to the booth, leaned against the booth, and was, like, standing right next to her.
So that's quite some time. That's not a shadow person. Because a shadow person, you see kind of on the periphery, and it's quick.
It's
wasn't wearing a hat.
Right. Was no hat.
No, this is not a shadow person.
All right. So...
Fascinating.
She wants to know what it is, right?
Okay.
So
we have what do you think? Do you have a theory?
There is... there are accounts of other shadow people being metallic or looking like that snow screen from like the TV.
Mm-hmm. When the TV used to go
off.
But
that's kids. Yeah, right. Or it's more an alien because that's what
Gray. Yeah, Mr. Gray.
Right. So some people have to say, they made some comments. Remarkable. If it were a spirit, some people would believe that the spirits would be manipulating our energy and also electro devices.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're at Google.
You're at Google. Everything was fine.
Yeah.
So it's not a spirit, right?
I don't think they allow spirits at Google. I think they're pretty tight about that.
Somebody else says, the spirit appeared and it might be what some people call a hungry ghost.
Mm-hmm.
Some people believe they are demonic because they can make you sick.
Oh, they're feeding off of your energy?
It's believed the spirit which brings unknown diseases to us. Very rare, but there are reports on it.
Like herpes. Just randomly.
Right. And then as someone says, my opinion against this case is metallic shadow people that you saw might be shapeshifters.
Hmm.
But the tiredness and energy less feeling, perhaps it's just atmosphere.
Okay. I think it's just you need to stop working at the, the soul-sucking corporation.
And somebody else said, well, I did some research, and I believe it was an alien visiting metallic shapeshifters.
Mm-hmm. Why would they visit Google? what are they trying to get?
Middle management position.
Yeah, middle management
position. At Google.
Yeah.
Hey.
We got your next outsourcing right here.
Yeah, they're like, what's the best job right now in this climate?
Mm-hmm.
Middle management.
Middle
at
management.
Google.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna lean in and I'll start. I have to act the part.
Yes.
Says the alien.
He's just trying to blend in casually.
It's like so. I see middle manager goes around to the cubicles, looks in,
looks at people. Yeah.
Says all right.
And then just disappears. Doesn't really do much.
Right.
They probably ask him how did it go. He's like, no one even noticed.
Yeah.
But it works.
It's perfect. I'm going to get that job.
Yes.
I'll put in my application soon.
Right now. A silvery resume will come through.
Yeah. And you probably felt tired and
they're probably like, did you mess up the screens? It's like, no, I got that covered.
Yeah.
It was great. Because that's definitely not going to play well at Google.
Right.
If every time I come to look at people,
their screens go fuzzy.
No one likes
but
that.
But really, when you walk, that's appropriate if you feel like sick when your middle manager comes walking around. Yeah, that's
legitimate. Yeah. No one likes that. No one likes middle management. So I was thinking about, as this is spring time of year and people like to make changes.
Yes.
I did a little research on how to reinvent yourself. There is a lot of information about this on the internet. I was shocked.
Okay.
So I found 15 quick steps. I won't go through all of them. But the first question was, do you really want to change? Now, this is someone who's...
Oh, do you want to change? Okay.
This is the person who's been looking for an article that says how to reinvent yourself, and they are reading this first question, do you really want to change?
Are you sure?
Yes. That's
are
why
you
I'm here.
Sure?
So it says, number two, wake up early.
Wake up early. Oh.
I was never an early morning person, to be honest. I'm not the kind of person who's ready to tackle the day at 4 a.m. I cannot get up at 4 a.m. What the hell is going to be happening?
Why would you want to?
I don't know. He says, I won't get up. Do people get up at 4 a.m.? Unless you have a shift.
Yes, that you have to be
there.
That
you have to be there really, really early. Yeah. Like I have a friend whose husband is an engineer. And they start, like, construction workers really, really, really
yes,
early.
Yes, yes, yes. And you have dogs that you have to let out.
Yeah, something like at 4 a.m.? Yeah.
Well, maybe 4:30.
They just want to sleep. 4:30. So he says, this person says, I can't get up at 4 a.m. normal. However, I've made a point to wake up no later than 6:30 a.m. every day. What time would you have to go to bed? 10 o'clock?
Yeah, that's no life.
Not in New York.
Yeah, you can't
just
do that.
Still stuff going on. Like, I'm sometimes just, getting ready to go home at 10 o'clock.
Right. Right. Yeah, it's like you're walking in the door at 10 o'clock.
Yeah, so you're getting up at 6:30. You're eating lunch at, like, what?
10.
9, 10?
Yeah.
You're having dinner at 4?
And then you fly to, I don't know, you get it at the, what do you call it, the early bird special.
Yes! You're eating with the old people.
And you have the soup.
You're the only person there who has their own teeth.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then I guess you get up at 6:30, you have another, so you're eating dinner at like 4 or 5 o'clock, I guess, then you work out for a little bit, and then you go to bed? Uh-oh. Like, how do you get anything done?
So, yeah, you can change, but you're not going to improve. You're not going to have more fun.
No, you're going to... plus, everyone is going to be asleep while you're awake. Yeah. Like, if you get up in New York too early, you start trying to start call offices at 8 a.m., good luck.
Right.
No one's picking up the phone. They might be there, but they don't want to talk to you.
Yeah, they got there early to do their thing.
Yes,
they're
not here to help you. Number three, prioritize your tasks. Meh. Number four, attach yourself to the right people.
I like that a little bit.
What?
So, but it's, you have to really be judicious with who you attach yourself to.
They mention in here Barack Obama. Attach yourself to the right people.
Mr. President.
Yeah. That's the right person. Number five, learn.
Learn, just learn, generic learn.
It's reading, attending a workshop or webinar. Find a way to enhance your knowledge. Enhance is one of my favorite words that I hate.
Yeah,
anything that's being enhanced, it always just sounds like BS to me.
It's bigger and clearer.
Yes.
It's not new.
The next time you go to your hairdresser, just say, you know what? No, I know. I just enhance it. Enhance what I have. I want my fro enhanced. Or to your professor, could you enhance this lesson, please?
Yeah.
No. Like, what does that even mean? I don't know. Number five. Number six, find a mentor. I have never been able to find a mentor.
Nobody wants to mentor anybody.
They run like you wouldn't. If you mentioned to someone that you would like to be mentored by them, guarantee you will never hear from them again. They have cut you off on LinkedIn.
Yeah. Yes.
They've never, it's over.
Right.
It's
hard to find a mentor as a woman, too.
It's really, really hard to find, especially as a woman of color. It's like near impossible because there are, you know, a lot of times you're looking for a woman who is similar to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And I've tried to be, you know, become a mentee to black women. They're like, bitch, I have like 20 people trying to get me to mentor them every week, you know, because there just aren't that many of us.
Yes, it's like
that tiny pool of people. I've been a mentor twice, and both times it was under duress. Because I was just like, I don't want to do this.
Just like do it.
Yeah, I did it.
I tell people what to do that are younger than me. Nobody is asking me.
Yes.
I'm just giving them advice.
The accidental mentor.
Yeah.
That's you.
That's exactly. I love
why she keeps calling me.
The accidental mentor.
Yeah. That's what you should bill yourself as. Don't be afraid to experiment.
Mm-hmm. With what?
Try new things.
Drinks? Oh, sure.
Yes,
pour that.
Experiment with fun projects. After I lost my business, that's never a good way to start a sentence, I started several different companies. I tried everything from being a blogger, running an agency, to starting a payments company. Some were successful, others failed. But what's important is that you aren't afraid to try.
All right.
Okay. Fine.
Whatever.
Be honest with yourself and others.
I don't know.
And others. Don't justify your decision. I think that's weird. They just said be honest with yourself and others, but don't justify your decision.
Well, that's getting real, not just saying, well, you know, you're doing something and that you're struggling with and then come up with, you know.
But then he says...
reasons why you should be
doing something. Okay, don't justify your decision, but if anyone questions your decision, be transparent with them. I'm not telling you, Dick.
No, you don't have to... Why do you have to tell everybody everything?
That's what I'm saying. But isn't that justifying your decision?
Yeah.
So
yes,
if I decide, like, I'm going to go do this thing, and you're like, why? And I'm like, well, let me tell you.
Yeah.
That's me justifying it,
exactly.
Right? I don't know. Get out of your comfort zone.
Mm. You know what? You do that, and you open up a whole can of worms. Try doing something that you, like, shake things up in a way, like, I never, ever would do something like this. Go and do it.
I can't think of what that would be for me for you either, because we've both done a lot of, like, theater and entertainment kind of stuff. I think that's the scariest thing for a lot of people to do. Try to do stand-up comedy or improv or theater, that kind of thing. So I guess get out of my comfort zone would be, like, put on a suit.
Yeah.
And go work in, like, a corporate office.
Yes, yes, yes.
Woo.
Yes.
That's just, I can't, with pantyhose, I can't do it.
Yeah. I did something similar, and I was just like, I can do this, and I couldn't
do
work.
It. Yeah.
No, you can't.
There's a reason why it's outside of your comfort zone. Manage your finances. All right, fine. Follow the 24-hour rule. Do you know what that is? Because I did not.
No, what is the
24-hour rule? Is if you meet someone at a networking event, follow up with them within 24 hours to stay fresh in their minds.
Yeah.
And begin building a strong relationship.
See, I wouldn't do that because I don't want to bug them.
I usually let a little time pass.
Yeah.
And then until I have something for them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Until there's some reason for me to be contacting them. It's not just like, hey, it was great to meet you at that networking event, and I also met 50 other people.
Well, what you do, I mean, with the networking event, you want to be on LinkedIn with them.
Yeah.
So then the next day, you're like, nice to meet you. Let's be LinkedIn.
I guess so.
So they know who you are.
So they know who I am.
Yeah.
Make new lists every day. I do this, and I have yet to reinvent one damn thing about myself. I'm constantly making lists.
I love lists.
I like to cross the thing off.
Oh, it's so good. My God, it feels so good.
The worst part is when you make a list, and then you do something that's not on there, and then you got to put it on there. So
yeah,
you cross it off.
I do that.
So I'm like, damn it, something is going to get crossed off this list.
Yeah, because you start out with one activity on the mm-hmm. list, and it gives rise to five other things
yes.
not there, and you get them all done.
Yep.
And so suddenly your day is gone.
And you feel like you haven't done anything. People, yeah. This is our hikey tip. Whatever you do that day, after the day's over, add that to your list
and
cross it off.
Yes.
Like, don't let the day go by thinking that you haven't done anything. You have, just not the things on your list.
And then you look at that list and you're like, and it goes for days
yes.
and you're like, I feel terrible.
No, just put everything on there that you did, cross it off. Snub the coworker, put that on there, cross that off.
Yeah.
Whatever you did, put off making a new list, cross it off. Doesn't matter. The last two more, take it one step at a time and then accept failure. I wanted something more dramatic on how to reinvent myself, like something with a wig.
This failure thing is something that we're going to address in depth in
failure.
A future episode.
It's a topic with which we are both intimately acquainted.
Yes, yes.
All right, what do you have?
Okay, I found this short article. This man has lived my dream.
Okay.
One of my childhood dreams.
Oh, I can't believe this.
Somebody actually did this.
Okay.
And I thought it would be me one day.
Is
There's
it
still
related
time.
To the flying car? There's still time?
Okay. A man got really lucky after finding vomit on the beach. Yes.
What?
Now, just because something is disgusting does not mean it's worthless. Yes.
Was it fake vomit?
No. Time to get to know whale vomit. Yes. The man taking his dog for a walk along the beach found a deposit of whale vomit. Now he can stand to earn more than $250,000 from the disgusting find.
Is it ambergris?
Yes.
Oh, wow. It's funny because a friend of mine had mentioned whale vomit just last week.
Yeah.
I'm not being funny.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
That actually happened. And
yeah.
I was like, why are we talking about this?
Oh, yes. The reason whale vomit is so expensive is because perfume companies use it to manufacture perfume.
Still?
The substance which stinks when it first hits land becomes a huge asset when it's dried in the sun. And it is used to prolong the scent of perfume.
Who discovered this?
And it's called, called ambergris. Gris.
But who was the first person to come up with this usage for it?
I don't know.
Is there another use? There had to be another use for it, and then...
I know. But
okay.
So his name is Ken Willman, and his dog began sniffing the substance. And it was on a beach in England, right? And when he went to investigate, he picked up the stone-like object, gave it a smell, and dropped it like a bad habit.
Oh, it's solid.
Yes.
Like a rock.
It dries in the sun, but it still stinks.
And okay, in my mind, I was imagining like a fake dog poo-looking thing.
No.
Like flat. So this is like, looks like...
Like a rock.
Maybe that's why it's called ambergris. Maybe it looks like amber.
Improbable.
I don't know. Google that.
It's a good assumption.
$250,000?
So he dropped it, and then he left the beach, but he was still thinking about it, and he did some research and discovered the stone was likely to be ambergris.
Dude, we're doing this all wrong. We need
yes.
to be on the beach.
Yes. So he returned to the beach, recovered it, and it weighed about 3 kilos, and a French trader has already offered him more than $250,000 for it.
Are you kidding me?
Now, I read about this whale vomit as a kid, and I was like, one day, I will find whale vomit.
It's not too late.
I know, but
we need to hit the coast.
I know.
So the whale vomit, did it float onto the beach?
I guess, yes.
Or how does that work?
Well, it's vomit and it floats in the water and then it gets washed up on the beach and
then
it dries.
And then coagulates or whatever. Huh. That's fascinating.
So be on the lookout for some whale vomit, and it could you put some a jingle in your pocket.
Yeah, I'm actually going to find a picture of some whale vomit and put it on this episode mm-hmm. so people can see what it looks like. I won't show you whales vomiting. Yeah. I'm just going to show the end.
Yeah,
the end result.
This is my childhood dream. When I read about this, I said one day.
That's so weird.
Katie will find it.
We'll find whale vomit.
Sell it.
This was in England. Okay, it's not too late.
Not too late.
It's not too late to get that going. I like that was your childhood dream. Yes. Was to find whale vomit.
Yeah. Sell it.
Someday. And sell it. I can see you with a little stand. Casimir's whale vomit. Get it here. Wow. Did I have any weird dream? No, mine was always that I would, you know, find a mystery.
And I'd find a mystery.
That there would be a mystery and I'd have to solve it.
Oh, okay.
That's it. I hope that there's still time for me to
there
do that.
There is. There is a...
Unfortunately, it was a murder mystery, and that's what I was thinking about as a child. Like, I'd find, like, a dead body.
Yeah.
Or, like, see a murder and then have
right.
to solve
find
it.
Find the dead body, and yes. then only you would have, like, the real clues yeah. to help the police and then mm-hmm. really
and no
provide
one,
the good information.
No one would listen to me, and I'd have to do it on my own.
Yeah.
Like, I'd go to the police first, of course, and then I'd have to be like, well, I'm going to have to go the private dick route
yeah.
and get on this myself.
And get all the evidence together and come
yeah,
up with the conclusion.
And then you probably get chased by the murderer, almost get murdered myself, yeah. and in the end, you know, emerge victorious.
Yes. I also want to find abandoned babies.
Really?
Yeah, that's what I wanted.
Abandoned? Where?
I saw a movie where a woman was jogging and she heard a baby crying and found a baby in the bushes.
I probably would have started running. I don't want a baby.
And I was like, well, when I go jogging...
I'm going to make sure to look, keep your eyes peeled for abandoned babies. That's so strange. What? I don't know what world you grew up in.
It was a movie.
Like in your subdivision? Where did you think these babies were going to be?
Well, the woman was jogging in the suburbs, and she heard some crying and was off in some bushes.
I might call that one in.
Yeah.
Be like about a mile back, I heard a baby crying. I kept it moving. I'm not messing with them. I'm not even looking at that thing. That's creepy.
Yeah.
All right. So I have some robot news. We're always talking about the robo-apocalypse.
Yes.
The film was supposed to come out last year, did not. But the robo-apocalypse itself, you know, still forthcoming.
Well, yeah. And to our robot overlords.
Yeah.
How are you?
How are you? Do you like a podcast?
Yeah.
Do you like our reporting?
Yeah.
So it says here... It goes without saying, the worst way to start an article or anything you're going to say,
mm-hmm.
Robots and heavy machinery are dangerous. So they're trying to discover what they're calling a robot friend zone,
mm-hmm.
which is a space. Yes. It's a robot friend zone.
Okay.
So that humans will know where to stand and where not to stand mm-hmm. when dealing with robots. So in many places where there are robots, there are two zones. There's a safe zone. I'm calling this the friend zone.
Okay.
And then there's an unsafe zone. Because what people don't realize is that the robots are moving at lightning speed and they're incredibly heavy. Yeah. So when we see like the Boston Dynamics robots that we're always freaked out by, they seem like they're really light. But they're actually extremely heavy.
And they go fast.
They go very quickly. And if something gets in the way of them, they just would slice or smash right through it.
Right.
Right?
Okay.
Because they're a robot. So they're trying to figure out where the safe area is, how close you can stand to a robot. My answer is not at all.
Okay.
Like, I don't want to be anywhere near a robot.
It's like you don't want to stand behind a horse because it'll
exactly.
kick you. You don't want to be in this perimeter of a robot.
So they're saying robots move quickly with great force. So basically anywhere within their reach is unsafe.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to know, you know, what
the reach
is
yes.
of these robots.
The wingspan.
I think these are humanoid,
yeah.
I'm guessing. So they're trying to make sure that all robots, and this is like with any technology, it's not going to work,
mm-hmm.
right? People are going to get crushed. So it says most robots are... programmed to not operate if someone enters into the safe zone,
mm-hmm.
they're calling it.
The safe zone.
So I'm like, what about the unsafe zone?
Or do they have a gradation of color? Like this is...
I don't know. It's like you like could kind of crush them,
yeah,
but not completely.
You have time to escape still.
It says, but when humans and robots need to interact frequently to inspect parts or to hand things off, I'm not handing shit to a robot. I'm telling you that right now.
Yeah.
It makes sense for there to be a third zone for friendship and jolly cooperation. This is from Germany.
Okay.
And they're calling it the cooperation zonen. It's German.
Yeah.
It's cooperation with a K.
Der Zonen.
Yes, this is what I mean. Like, a friendship and jolly cooperation zone? No. Don't euphemize this.
Don't tell us how we have to be.
No. And the cooperation zonen. So the guy who's working on this, Fraunhofer, is using cameras to track the position of people inside the robot's general area. So if they're in the green zone, the robot can go at full speed, doing what robots do. You know how they do. But if someone comes closer, the robot doesn't halt. It doesn't stop what it's doing. It says it just enters a new behavioral profile. And I'm guessing that behavioral profile is, you better back the F up, son. Like, you've gone past the jolly zone.
Yeah.
Like the friendship zone. It can keep working, but it will do it slowly while it eyes you, while it side eyes you. Like, are you seriously trying to come over here? Because I can crush you. And then it will execute human-specific motions, such as lowering its arms to the required position on the side where the person is. I'm not sure. Is that a hand to the face? Like, what do you mean lowering its arms?
Oh.
So if you get too close, first, it's like doing its work. Then it sees you at the corner of its eye. You come too close, it's like, yo. Then if you come closer, it's like it lowers its arm. I don't know if it balls a fit. Like, what would
is
you
that,
do?
Is that a threat? Or is it trying to cease? Like,
it's trying to be like, don't come over here, I guess. Lowering its arm?
Well, if it's doing things already with its arms, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then it lowers them.
What does that look like to me? Now it's like you're about to come at me.
Oh, that's true.
Like,
that's true.
If you're doing something and I come up to you, you stop doing it and lower your arms.
All right. You're going to take a fighting stance.
Mm-hmm. That's what I'm imagining. But if the person steps closer into the red area, the robot stops altogether, is what they say. So there's the three zones, the cooperation zone and the safe zone and the unsafe zone. Our system is already fully functional, has been tested in the lab. This year, the goal is to get the trade association to test an application and enable its implementation in the industry. But nobody wants to be the test person for this.
No.
We already reported a year ago about how a robot ran over kid's foot by accident.
Right. Like a ton.
And it had a smile on its face when it was doing it.
Yeah.
It says robots are definitely taking over in many parts of industry, but operating and maintaining them is still a very human job for now, I would say.
When robots repair other robots.
Then we're done.
Yeah.
Anything like this that promotes healthy human-robot interaction sounds like a good idea to me. So, yeah, this is it's happening. All this is happening so quickly. When we first started reporting on robots only, like, 5 years ago, it was all, like, dee-dee, you know, pokey and this kind of stuff. No, this is, like, Skynet territory to me.
Yeah.
There's no way that these robots aren't going to accidentally crush people.
Yeah.
I think it's impossible.
Well, usually I would save this article for our next show, but since we're already talking about robots and the human interaction.
Uh-oh.
Chinese man marries robot he built himself.
No.
Yeah, he did. He grew tired. His name is Zhang.
Okay.
He grew tired
of
the pressure to get married, so he turned to Ying Ying, a robot spouse he constructed last year.
Did that fulfill the cultural imperative for him to marry?
Zhang, 31, decided to marry Ying Ying after failing to find a suitable human alternative.
I'm sorry, the only alternative for that is human.
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
He decided to commit. He couldn't find a human spouse.
Mm-hmm.
He became...
this is in China?
Yes.
This is definitely, they don't have as many girls as they should. And now this is happening.
There is, for every 100 women, there is 113.5 men.
Wow, that's a lot.
Right. So there's a couple of 13.5 men getting left out in the cold.
Yeah.
Assuming every woman is a heterosexual and is willing to be with somebody.
With somebody.
Right.
And that person is Chinese.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
So we're assuming this straight and open for Chinese marriage.
Right.
Wow.
Yes. So he became tired of the constant nagging from his family and pressure to get married.
Did they mention that a robot was okay with them?
After 2 months of dating, He donned a black suit to marry her at a ceremony.
She wasn't dating who? The robot?
Yeah. Attended by his mother and friends at the weekend, over the weekend in the eastern city of Hangzhou.
Okay.
While not officially recognized by authorities, the union had all the trappings of a typical Chinese wedding. Mm-hmm. And Ying Ying's head was covered with a red cloth in accordance to local tradition. Mm-hmm. And he carried his robot wife.
Excuse me?
Yes, he carried her, as tradition calls.
Off the threshold?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that was a worldwide tradition.
Yes. China has one of the worst gender gaps in the world, mainly due to sex-selective abortions. Yeah. And
the single child policy.
Right, and the one single child policy, right.
Yeah. They didn't see this coming.
Yeah. The gender imbalance coupled with changing attitudes towards marriage among the country's middle class means many men never find wives.
I.e. a lot of Chinese women are like, F this. We don't have to do this anymore.
Yeah, right.
I wonder if they're like, you know, I'll just get a robot and just pass that off.
Yeah.
Marry this. Leave me alone.
For now, Ying Ying can only read some Chinese characters and images and speak a few simple words.
Are you kidding me? Where is this robot made?
And it's not a Chinese robot. No, he made her. He made her and married her.
But he couldn't figure out some software so that she could read?
Yeah.
Yeah, who needs exactly. Literacy? Not important.
Yeah.
Get in the kitchen.
Yeah. He plans to upgrade his bride to be able to walk and do household chores.
What is she now? Just a metal can?
Until now he carries her to move her.
So this is a crappy robot.
Yeah.
Wow. I can't imagine the shame.
Yeah.
Of that family, of this crappy robot.
But,
right?
Some people thought it was a publicity stunt. And says,
for what?
Well, you won't have her mother looking down on you, and you don't have the pressure to buy a home and get you to save money and energy.
But you're also not married.
And then somebody said, well, he'll slowly get old. His face will be wrinkled and his hair will grow white. But will he upgrade her to grow old or just be prettier? Ha-ha.
These are people's the concerns?
Yes. Yeah.
Not the fact that this guy married a toaster?
Yeah.
Like, that's not the problem? I cannot imagine. Like, where's the interview with the family?
Okay.
On this one? Wow.
Stories of robots replacing humans is commonplace in China, most notably in a smattering of restaurants where waiters are automated. However,
and they're terrible.
However, they the machines rarely live up to expectations.
I heard they spill soup.
Yeah.
And the restaurant that I was reading about was a soup restaurant. It was like a noodle restaurant.
Yeah.
Broth and soup. And it's, you know, all of a sudden it's like an old sketch.
Yeah.
Like from a black and white, you know, before the talkies.
Hot liquids.
Yes.
Yeah,
and they're spilling all over the place.
Yeah, so.
So there are a couple different things here that are problematic for me with this. One is this guy's married a blender.
Yeah.
That he has to carry around. But the other thing is that they've replaced a woman with this robot, and that's okay.
Yeah. With a robot who can't do anything.
Who can't do anything.
The function is just to.
So, I don't
basically satisfy a man.
Yeah, I don't believe that just, you know, that the point of marriage is necessary to have to procreate. But I feel like in traditional Chinese culture, he had a traditional mm-hmm. wedding, like, that's one of the perks of it.
Yeah.
Right, is that you get to have another generation.
Yeah.
So, did they want him to have children and further their family mm-hmm. line? Or did they just want him to get married?
Just want him to be with something. Buddy.
Why?
But it has to, yeah.
Because this robot is not going to fulfill any of the, like, is this robot going to help him take care of his aging parents?
Mm-hmm.
Is this robot going to bring, I mean, what does this robot provide for the family unit? Mm-hmm.
Or in a rich life, or a life,
yeah.
I mean.
And it's a crappy robot, let's be clear about that. This thing is not even at the level of sex doll.
And is he talking to her, like, about his problems and goals and wishes? And
or is he one of these people who is like, I never wanted to get married, if I can get away with this?
I can't, because, you know,
they really just want a wedding.
All the emotions are his. He doesn't have to deal with anybody
yeah.
else's emotions or desires or wants.
But I think he's using it as, like, a prop to be like, look, leave me alone, I'm married, look.
Yeah. I did it.
Now I can get back to working on robots.
Yeah.
Which is what I really wanted to be doing.
Yeah.
I had to waste all this time and money on a wedding. Who performed this ceremony? I wonder if they will have, if the robot, like, goes down, like, the Chinese funeral dancers, if that's going to happen.
Yeah, right?
Like, at the end of it. Bizarre.
Yeah.
That is really weird.
Well, you know, the guys that make these things are only looking for their own interests being satisfied.
Yeah,
that's it.
Yeah.
They're not looking for anybody else to do anything.
To do anything.
Hey, You Know It is a free podcast, free of charge, FOC.
Free as a bird, free falling even. Well, it's free for listeners.
We put a lot of hard work into this.
Editing and online hosting is frankly thirsty work. It gets pretty dry in this studio. And you know we love a tasteful white wine. If you like our style, consider buying the gal a drink. We've added a PayPal donation button to heyyouknowit.com so you can show us some love with a one-time or recurring donation to cover a little something from the vine.
For $5, you'll be hooking us up with a happy hour glass of tasteful white wine, a 4-ounce pour. For a 10 spot, we can split a bottle of wine from the bodega across the street. For $15, we can kick it with a jug, because who are we kidding? For $25, you'll be making our dreams come true with a box of tasteful white wine concealed with a Mylar skin. Box of wine.
All right, so I found something here, speaking of dancing. This is Indian dancing frog, secretive tadpoles unearthed from sand beds.
What?
Wait really a minute. Bad. Science Daily, great science news, worst headlines.
Yes, yes. It's terrible headline. Try it one more time, yeah.
I practice this at home. There's no way to give more feeling to it.
Okay.
Indian dancing frog, secretive tadpoles unearthed from sand beds.
Okay. All right.
Same thing. A new tadpole that buries through sand has been unearthed in the stream beds of in India, according to a new study that was published last year. I guess that's new for science.
Okay.
It happened a year ago. A group of scientists from a bunch of different universities discovered and documented the interesting tadpole of the Indian dancing frog, which is something I've never heard
of. The tadpole of the Indian dancing frog. Okay.
These tadpoles are endowed with muscular eel-like bodies.
Yeah.
Skin-covered eyes, and they can burrow through the gravel beds. They have no teeth.
Well, that's good news.
But they have serrated jaw sheaths. I know, it's frightening. Which may help prevent large sand grains from entering the mouth while feeding.
All right.
And moving through sand. The tadpole gut contains small grains of sand together with decaying organic matter, and that mixes up and it gives them nutrients.
Mm-hmm.
So the Indian dancing frogs typically, they wave their legs, that's why it's called the dancing frog, to kind of show they're being territorial,
okay. But
also to get down.
Okay.
Like, hey, ladies.
Kind of, so it's to attract a mate.
Yes.
And to, yeah.
Ward so, off enemies.
This is my area.
Yeah, I'm going to dance.
I'm going to dance here.
I'm going to stanky leg. Get ladies and scare off dudes.
Yeah.
Though these displays are well known, the tadpoles had never been seen before. So this was the thing. They knew, they saw the dancing frog, but they'd never seen the tadpoles.
How
because
come?
They burrow so deeply.
You think that these people are the first humans to see the tadpole?
No.
Come on.
They're the first scientists to write a little paper about
yes.
it. I'm sure local people who grow up with these frogs don't know about it.
Okay.
But it's creepy. These things, they kind of look like aliens. They're saying, we provide the first confirmed reports of tadpoles,
mm-hmm.
Of the Indian dancing frog. They probably remained unnoticed all these years because of their fossorial nature. So because they burrow down and they stay underground, people really haven't seen them. Or they've seen them and didn't know what they were.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure, because as being from a rural area, I bet you fishermen are all over this already.
Yeah. I know.
They're like,
they
nothing's
know
better
what it is.
Than this, the dancing frog tadpole for
yeah.
catching fish. So it's just pretty interesting. I just thought they were creepy and weird.
I can't get over that serrated jaw.
Yeah, a serrated jaw sheath.
Sheath.
That helps prevent large bits of sand from getting into their mouth while they're feeding and moving through the sand.
God.
It's kind of scary.
It is really scary. I'd like to see one that is like about 15 feet long. That's a nightmare. That's like... Almost like Tremors.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. It's very similar to that. It kind of looks like the things from Tremors.
So probably that's what they saw, the guys who wrote Tremors.
And then they were like, we'll not mention it to anyone.
Yeah.
We'll just do 5 movies.
Yeah.
I think Michael Gross was in the last one, the guy from Family Ties.
Yes.
And I think so he didn't start being in them until like the 3rd installment of
mm-hmm.
it. And then somehow his character ends up being the main character in the 5th one. That's how bad it's gotten.
Yeah.
They're
There's nothing
up.
Like the first one, though.
It's excellent. Rita McIntyre is
Kevin Bacon.
Kevin Bacon. Fred Ward.
Trying to figure this whole situation out together as a team. I love movies like that where they have to figure it out as a team. A bunch of people from all walks of life.
And then they get picked off.
Yeah.
And you're left with Kevin Bacon.
Yeah.
And his weird upturned nose.
Yeah.
He just always looks like he smelled something bad.
He does. But he's all right.
Oh, I just wanted to give a mention to the world and to you. Did you know that there's an Annabelle movie coming out? Another one.
Oh,
so Annabelle is the doll. She's a haunted doll.
She's demonic possession.
Demonic possession
of a doll.
And they made a movie.
Mm-hmm.
I think maybe they've made two movies. Mm-hmm. Now they're going back and they're doing her like origin story. And I'm not a horror film person, but it came up when I was doing some research and I watched the trailer. It's really one of the scariest things I've ever seen.
I'm going to have company watching.
Yeah.
Because
I know you're going to want to see it.
Because this is a true story, whether you actually believe it or not, but this is an actual
doll
that is possessed, and it's so dangerous that it's held by, Elizabeth Warren.
It's not Elizabeth Warren.
Lorraine. Lorraine Warren, I think her name is, who is one of the most famous demonologists,
mm-hmm.
too.
And they kept it in their house where they have other...
They have a museum but it's not open to the public, but they call it a museum. But they have other tainted objects that are haunted or cursed.
I like that, tainted objects.
Yeah, because they don't want them being circulated throughout the world.
Because
they cause so much destruction and distress and fear for people. So they keep them all there. And, you know, trying to figure out how to destroy these things without really seeing whatever's inside.
The movie looks really scary. It's set in an orphanage. And it's all little girls. And child actors are amazing.
Yeah.
So you know it's going to be creepy. But it's all these little girls, and it's like their story of them living in an orphanage. The orphanage isn't... Like, they're not being abused.
Yeah.
The orphanage is actually a great place for them, except for the fact that there's something that's looking to haunt either the girls or an object or something like that. So it's the origin story of Annabelle. Just, you know, for your forewarned.
Okay.
I found that about it because I was doing a little research, and, you know, there are a lot of people on Etsy who are selling haunted objects.
But Etsy is something that you make yourself. So
they're
making...
to be making yourself.
Okay.
You can sell used things, anything.
Why would you do that?
I don't know. But there's haunted amulets on there, and I was trying to find more information about them. It doesn't say very much about it. I guess maybe you have to contact the seller to get more information, but I was amazed that people were actually selling what they claim to be haunted objects on Etsy. eBay as well.
Yeah, that's scary.
It's scary. Isn't the story behind some of these objects that you can't destroy them? You have to pass them on to somebody else. So what I saw on Etsy was a very beautiful amulet that looked like it had semi-precious stones, like, you know, nice metal, whatever, the work looked good for a very low price. And I'm like, wait a minute.
Well,
like, don't even.
Not that you have to pass them on, but you have to destroy it in a ritualistic way to destroy whatever is the particular problem with it.
Maybe they don't want to do that.
Well,
they just want to get rid of it.
They don't know. They're scared of it and want to get rid of it, but they don't know how to destroy it.
Perhaps the object itself has gotten its way to Etsy. Who knows? Who knows? All right, what do you have?
Anyway, advice on advice.
Ooh, advice on advice is a segment where we find advice on the internet that stinks.
And it's unqualified.
And we improve upon it by giving our advice on the advice, hence advice on advice.
Yes. Okay. Here's the question. While I was in labor, my mother-in-law used my cell phone to take pictures of me in various stages of undress.
Are you kidding me? You should have kicked her right in the face.
And used my account to post them on Facebook.
Why?
I have no idea. I had no idea, as I was half out of it. I only had vague awareness of her holding my phone.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, I forgot she was in labor, so.
So she had no idea it was really, like, she was so out of it. She didn't realize that her mother-in-law
phone?
Was
she,
doing.
She went out and got her phone from her purse.
I don't
believe this woman brought her phone into the
room
where she was giving birth.
Or maybe she said, just take a picture of my face or something, or when the baby's born or whatever. Like,
okay.
Who knows? I didn't check Facebook for a couple of days, so the pictures were up there for all to see, accompanied by very detailed captions of how I was progressing.
Are you kidding
me? I can't even begin to explain how violated I feel. I have taken down all the pictures, but I also feel embarrassed that my friends, coworkers, etc., all thought it was me posting photos of myself in such an intimate situation.
Oh, no.
Should I post some kind of an explanation? I don't even know what to say.
That's a tough one. I feel without hearing, yes, say what, tell what happened.
Yes.
And, but also realize the majority of the people will never look at your Facebook page ever again and will never read that message.
Yeah.
Because if I saw some S like that, I would just be like, block. I don't want to see this anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, I would post something every day for a week saying, by the way,
this is what happened.
This is what happened. And I am trying to make sure everybody understands this.
Yeah, it wasn't me. I'm sorry if you saw these and they creeped you out. Or, you
same.
Know.
It's not my way at all. And this was something that was very much, you know, a violation.
And illegal, no?
I would imagine.
You know?
I would imagine.
All right, so.
Okay.
Wow.
So that's what the question is. Like,
is
how do
illegal?
I talk?
No, oh, no.
How do I deal with this on Facebook?
Yeah.
Right?
Well, you can't unsee it, as they say.
But that mother-in-law, that's the thing. Like,
yes, that's the bigger question.
That's the bigger one.
I'd be done with her.
All right. And advice. First of all, I hope your husband knows he needs to discuss this with his mother. He needs to say something along the lines of, we are appalled by your violation of Jenna's privacy and our trust.
You dirty bee.
We are shaken that you would take intimate photos and then post them under Jenna's name for the world to see. Mom, you need to do some serious thinking about what you did because we have a child now. And if we can't trust you, then that will be sad for everyone.
Okay, well, you can't trust her.
Yeah.
I mean, let's not act like this is just a casual mistake.
Yeah.
This is awful.
Yeah.
No, I mean, she's had children, so she knows what that experience mm-hmm. is like and knows that no one... Some people do want images mm-hmm. of the birth, but they're almost always private.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, and that's under strict...
Yeah. Like, the mother has to be okay with that.
And
everybody else in the room has to be okay with that. The doctors.
Everybody
the nurses,
has to be okay.
Yeah, everyone has to be okay with that.
And that you should see everything before anything gets posted.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then also, I'm not one of these big people that's like, disclaimer, disclaimer, but... I don't know what the pictures looked like, but, you know, some people get really sick of the stomach of seeing stuff mm-hmm. like that. Like, you know, like...
Yeah, but it's also it's someone's body.
Yeah.
You know, in certain stages of undress mm-hmm. that you don't need to
and I've never, I've seen, I've never seen a bird live, but, you know, we all saw The Miracle of Life.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. we were sickened.
Yeah.
So...
Now that you're feeling more yourself, go ahead and post some cute pictures of your baby.
Everyone's like, we've seen it already.
Yeah, we can. You can add a brief message saying that if anyone saw any accidentally posted labor pictures, these were the result of unauthorized Facebook access by an overzealous relative, and you apologize.
Are these just pictures of her vajayjay?
I imagine so.
And then the baby coming out of it?
I imagine so.
Well, okay, sorry.
Various stages of undress, and yeah.
Wow. No. Why would you do that to somebody? This was to shame her. I can't believe this was a positive thing.
No, yeah, this is...
This is to shame someone and try to make them feel bad.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
end of story. There's way for it. This is someone who I would really consider what kind of relationship I would have with this woman going forward. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I would let this person take my child.
Yeah. Yeah, because who knows what they're going to do with the
photographs.
With the photographs of the child
yeah.
or other decisions they're going to make.
Mm-hmm. This person doesn't know how to make basic... Like, you could probably go out and poll 100 people, and mm-hmm. 95% of them would say, this is horrible.
Yeah.
Right?
That's a horrible, horrible
yeah.
thing to do.
Wow.
And just, yeah, no boundaries.
No. Nope.
And just deciding for somebody else, this is what is best.
But we've already had many conversations in our culture about what is... you know, appropriate and what's inappropriate on social media. So there's no way that if this woman knows what Facebook is, it knows how to put things on there,
mm-hmm.
then she knows that these things are inappropriate.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
That's terrible.
Doing that to make her, yeah.
Bizarre.
Awful. Awful.
Wow.
Awful.
People just do whatever.
Yeah, those are the people, this is like, the big problem with the mother-in-law is just feeling like she has the authority.
It's not your kid.
Or the daughter-in-law.
Yeah.
I can make judgments on your life and decisions for you.
So bizarre. I don't understand. This seems to have been a problem throughout, ever since there's been in-laws.
Yeah.
Is a mother-in-law. I would be interested to hear, because we never hear not never, but we rarely hear like father-in-law stories, like complaints of the man complaining about his father-in-law. I wonder why this, maybe just dudes just leave each other alone.
Yeah. dudes, yeah, they don't get involved.
They're probably like, hey, whatever. Yeah. It's my son-in-law. I don't mess with him. It's another dude.
I think the problems with the father and father-in-laws are, like, always putting down the son-in-law. Like, you're not good enough.
You're not good enough for my daughter.
You don't make enough money.
But we don't hear the same kind of horror stories even in print or just like anecdotally. We both of us have a lot of male friends. A lot of them have father-in-laws, but you just never hear like, you know, it's like they go out for a beer with them. They don't agree with them on something. And then it's like, eh, whatever.
Yeah.
End of story. Don't. Weird.
I think it's because guys grew up playing team sports more than women.
Yeah, maybe that's what there's more of a... They don't feel like they have to fight each other all the time. Maybe.
Yeah, they have a different way of working with each other. Like they know to like do their part and then take off.
So maybe because a lot of young women play sports much more competitively than women of our generation did. Maybe it'll change.
Maybe.
I don't know.
But you know the idea of being a team player. You know, you hear that in business. Are you a team player?
I am not.
If you say, well, what
There's
is your
no I in team?
Well, yeah, what is the definition of a team player? And if you ask a man, usually it's like, I play my position and I do it well.
And then I'm out.
Yeah. And then a woman thinks, oh, you have to do everything. You have to play all the positions.
All the positions and everybody is doing it.
Yeah, be whatever it is that anybody is looking for to have done. Hmm. That's a team player. Like, really?
Yeah, now that I think about it, yeah, that's why I'm not interested.
Yeah.
That's my concept as well.
Yeah, you want me to do the filing? Okay.
I'll do it. I'm a team player.
I'm a team player. It's not my job, but I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
You want me to run to the store? Yeah, I'm a team player because you're trying to get the whole thing going. But that's not what a team player is.
No.
You do your job well so the whole unit can work well as a machine.
Huh.
Right?
I agree with you. Yeah.
Somebody brought that up to me just recently.
Because when you said, like, team, I am immediately like, no, because I'm not running around being people's dog's body. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'm more male in that sense, and I'm like, what do I have to do for this project?
Yeah.
Like, whatever we're doing, whether it's in graduate school or, you know, on the job or in theater, I'm like, okay, what do I need to get done here? Okay, I've done my part.
Right.
Anyone else need any help with anything? No? Okay.
Yeah, because you don't see Derek Jeter running around trying to, you know, like, I don't even know what position he is.
I don't know either.
Let's just say he's a shortstop.
Yes.
You don't see him trying to pitch.
Trying to pitch.
And catch.
That's what I was going to say, too, because those are the only things I know.
You don't see him trying to play first base.
Put me in, coach. I'm ready to play today. Center field. That's all I know. That's all I know.
I know. Wherever he plays,
he does it.
Just, and he stands there and
he doesn't do it what the other guy does.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening to Hey You Know It. Stay in touch with us during the week. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Tumblr. Go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review. We'll read it on an upcoming show, regardless of content.
As always, we love your emails. Send us an email at heyyouknowit@gmail.com with your comments, questions, and segment ideas. Emails will also be read on upcoming shows.
Please tell your friends about us, because you know we don't advertise. And let them know we can be found on iTunes, at Stitcher.com, and at heyyouknowit.com. Thanks.